right, it's great to be here with you today. My name is Mark Pedrin. I am part of the ministry team here at Westminster. I'm excited to be here as we continue our series in the book of Ephesians. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5 most of the time this morning. I really encourage you to follow along in your Bible or on your device in Ephesians chapter 5. But we're actually going to start off with where we finished last week, which is Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. So follow along with me, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love. Remember that phrase, walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And these verses are going to frame up everything we talk about this morning, especially that phrase, walk in love. I'm going to quiz you on it a little bit later. But I actually want to start with the very first word of verse 1, which is therefore. And anytime you see the word therefore in Scripture, you should perk up and pay attention and ask yourself the question, what's the therefore there for? You see, a therefore always points forward and it points back. And we're going to look at the forward in a few minutes, but I'd actually like to look back into chapter 4, Ephesians 4, for just a minute. Take a look at Ephesians 4, verse 17. Ephesians 4, 17 says, now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. There's that word walk again. No longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. And a couple verses later, verse 22, what does that look like? Paul says, put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So there's a putting off, there's a being renewed, and then put on the new self, created after the likeness of God and true righteousness and holiness. So a putting off, a being renewed, and then a putting on. And this is sort of a transition point in the book of Ephesians. You see, Paul spent the first three chapters painting this picture of just how great is the salvation that comes through Jesus. And he uses that great, great word, adoption. That when we trust in Christ, we are adopted into God's family. And now, here in chapter 4, he's turned the corner and he says, because all this is true, it will make a difference in how you live. But doesn't happen automatically. It's not like flipping a switch. It's a layered, spirit-empowered process, this putting off, being renewed, and putting on. That's what we're looking at today. But as we get into it, I have a question for you. Right from wherever you're at joining us, I'd like you to raise your hand if this is you. Anybody here who plays a sport regularly or who used to play a sport? How about any runners? Any runners out there? I assume you're raising your hands. I can't actually see you, but I can kind of imagine that there's people raising their hands. My wife and I, we both enjoy running. How about different question? Anybody here who plays an instrument? Guitar? Cello? Cello's my absolute favorite. What about piano? Any piano players out there? Now, some people look at a piano player like Pastor Lori, and they'd say, you know, I'd give anything to be able to do that. I'd give anything to be able to play piano like that person. And when you hear people say that, usually what it means is, I'd give anything except what it takes. Because what it takes is hard work, repetition, practice, scales up, scales down, making the basics second nature. All those unglamorous things that equip you to get you where you want to go. It's the same with sports, of course. My daughter Chloe, when she was younger, for a number of years, she took swimming lessons at Juanita High School. And she was pretty good with the basics, but her favorite time of swimming lesson was the last 5 minutes. Do you know why? Because it was free time. free time. And the kids got to splash around in the pool and do crazy stuff and do headstands, and she'd look forward to free time. So they're at Juanita High School. In the shallow end, you have all the kids playing and splashing around. But over here in the deep end is the high school swim team. And you know what? They weren't splashing and playing around. Instead, they're doing lap after lap after lap, focusing on form, efficient turns, eliminating drag, casting off every move that would slow them down. It's not glamorous. It's not even fun half the time. So why do they do it? Well, there at Juanita High School, at the pool, on the walls all around us are plaques and banners, testaments to student athletes who had set records and accomplished great things. See, when you see the goal, then the fundamentals make sense. They're what helps you get there. UCLA head basketball coach John Wooden led the Bruins to 10 championships in a 12-year period, including a record 7 in a row. When John Wooden would get a new group of players, first practice, he would start with the proper way to put on your socks and how to tie your shoes. You're probably wondering what this is here for. This is my running shoe. Maybe you think you know how to tie a shoe, right? So did I. I mean, come on. I've been tying shoes since I was, well, at least since I was a teenager. But then someone taught me that what I had always done was actually slowing me down. I had to unlearn some old ways, just as much as learning new ways. And that's where Paul goes here in Ephesians 5. He says, do you want to run the race? Do you want to experience the deep joy of life in the kingdom? Do you want a faith that's irresistible at your school, your workplace, in your neighborhood? Well, what are you doing with the fundamentals? With unlearning the ways of the world and learning the new ways of the kingdom, Paul zones in on three foundational, practical daily life areas: our relation to people, our relation to language, and to the stuff of this world here in Ephesians 5. So let's dive in. Let's dive in. As we start, Paul lays out two paths for us. You always have a choice. Paul lays out two paths for us: a worldly wise path and an upside down kingdom path. Two ways that we can walk. Will we walk in idolatry or in identity? Idolatry or identity? Now, in Ephesians 5, Paul starts with the path of idolatry. I actually want to start with the end. I think just like an athlete needs to see the goal in order to put in the work, let's look at the why first. Here's the good news of what we get to put on in God's kingdom as we walk in love. We get to put on, remember that process, put off, be renewed, put on from chapter 4. Here's what we get to put on, our new identity. Take a look with me, Ephesians 5, verses 8 to 11. 5, 8 to 11. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Paul is saying we get to put on a new identity as children of God. We have a new heavenly Father, a new way of living. Back in verse 1 in Greek, Paul said we are techna agapeta, children beloved. And now here in verse 8, he says we are techna photos, children of light. We have a new fruitfulness, Paul says, the outworking of what's good and right and true that puts us in relationship with our Father and with other people. Sign me up, right? Sounds great. So what's the hard work here? What is the putting off and the being renewed and the putting on? I think it's all those old scripts, all those old ways of living that helped us survive, but now are tying us up inside. And for all of us, it begins with the Spirit's help. And here at Westminster, we have people and groups that would love to walk alongside you in this process. We have care groups like Divorce Care, Celebrate Recovery, Grief Share. We have Grow groups, people on this journey together who will journey with you through this. Visit our website. On our website, you'll find a care section. You can find ways to connect with any one of these groups. Put on your new identity. That's the goal. Well, now it's time to work backwards and explore some foundational practice that will equip us in order to walk in love. So take a look with me. We're going to look now at this pathway of walking in idolatry that we see in verses 3 to 7. Identity or idolatry? Take a look at verse 3. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking which are out of place. But instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, there's that word, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. Now, Paul sums up a lot of negative things with that word idolatry for good reason. Because idolatry says, God, you aren't enough for me. I want more. I deserve more. Idolatry puts self on the throne. It says, my will be done. And you know what? It shows up all the time. And Paul's invitation to us, put it off in three ways. First, put off using people. Put off using people. There are many ways that we crave to use people, and all of them are harmful to ourselves and to others. And Paul zeroes in here on sexual immorality and impurity. In Greek, porneia. Sound familiar? And then a broad range of actions and intentions outside of God's design for a married husband and wife are encompassed here. It's a reference to God's standard and God's design for sex, in the context of a loving, lifelong commitment that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. And we need to park here for a minute, even if it is a little uncomfortable. How is sexual immorality a form of idolatry? Because it says, my perceived needs are so important, I don't care how I get them filled, I don't care who it is I'm using to fill them. It says, my will be done. And we could talk a lot about the damage done through pornography and sexual objectification, how they go hand in hand with misogyny and systematic oppression, how it's leading generations to look at their bodies in unhealthy ways. And you know what? Our culture is going to pat you on the back all the way down this destructive path. The truth is, if you've blown it in this area, there is grace and forgiveness for you. And it is important for a lot of reasons. But the fundamental question is, where is your heart at in relation to yourself and to other people? Are you looking at others through a lens of love and service, or through a lens of self-satisfaction? So let's get shoe tying practical here. Your entertainment. Do you fill your eyes and ears with things that degrade you or build you up? I'm not going to call out specific movies and music and games and TV shows. That's for you to wrestle with in your spirit. Although I did see an article on Babylon Bee about a Christian guy who wanted to watch Game of Thrones, but vowed to skip all the nudity and sex scenes, and discovered that he got through 6 seasons of Game of Thrones in 20 minutes. So there is that. The question is, will you invite Jesus into your entertainment choices? And if you're struggling with unhealthy thinking in relation to sexuality or an addiction in this area, I think the first step is to recognize it for what it is, to confess that it's not part of God's perfect plan for you, that it tears down who you are and how you look at other people. And there are great resources out there, places like triplexchurch.com. Reach out to someone. Reach out to me. I'd love to have a conversation with you. You'll find you're not as alone as you think you are. Put off using people, Paul says. Next, put off abusing language. Put off abusing language. Verse 4, let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Now, this is not an invitation to holier-than-thou living, and I think things like satire certainly have their place. But it is an invitation to say, you know what? Technophotos, children of light, they use language that builds up. They don't use degrading, demeaning language, even towards people they disagree with. Instead, Paul says, their language is seasoned with thanksgiving. This is not an invitation to isolate yourself and to live in a Christian bubble. You know what? Your school, your workplace, your neighborhood, they need you to show up. But verse 7 does say, do not become partners with them. In other words, there's a difference between being with people and caring for people and becoming partners in unfruitful works. Ask Jesus to help you see what it means to be light in your situation. Put off using people, put off abusing language, and thirdly, put off craving more stuff. Now, covetousness is a big word that means being greedy for what belongs to someone else. And it's another form of idolatry because it says, I'm the priority here. So again, the question is, where's your heart at? I think social media is the great testing ground, isn't it? When you see your friend's pictures of that perfect vacation, are you able to rejoice with them, to enter into their happiness and gladness? Are you like, ah, I deserve that. That should be me. When the neighbor family goes by on their bikes, on the family bike ride, and you see the kids who actually seem to enjoy spending time with their parents, you know, this is just hypothetical, of course. What happens in your heart in that moment? Is it like, I'm so happy for them. What a wonderful family. From a sincere heart, you're like, ah, I deserve that. We need to recognize a big part of our culture and our economic system is built on cultivating dissatisfaction with what we have. And we need to step back from that. Don't crave more stuff, Paul says. Put that off. 1 Timothy 6:6, godliness with contentment is great gain. I want to say that again. Godliness with contentment is great gain. There's a verse to put on your steering wheel or your bathroom mirror at home. Put off these things, Paul invites us to. Well, it's time for a heart check. Heart check. Where does idolatry have root in your life and in my life? I really want to encourage you to take time this week. Invite the Holy Spirit to speak to you in this area. Now, hear me here. I recognize that it's easy to talk about putting off these old ways. It's a lot harder to put into practice. I know that from my own life. It's only accomplished with the Holy Spirit's empowering and guidance. But I also want to recommend some spiritual practices that believers over the centuries have turned to equip them for this kind of transformation. Three practices: solitude, simplicity, and submission. Easy to remember. They all start with S. And as we are on this journey of putting off, being renewed, and putting on, these practices can equip us to do what we currently aren't able to do through direct effort. As we find renewal. First, renewal through solitude. Renewal through solitude. And this says, so many times the noise of life crowds in on us. And just like a fish swimming in water, we don't recognize the environment that we are immersed in. It can tie us down. It can hold us back from what God created us to be. So solitude says, step away. Step away. Regularly make time to get away, to get perspective, to be alone with God. And when you re-engage, you'll be better equipped. Find renewal through solitude. Next, find renewal through simplicity. Simplicity. Cut out the things in your life that are dragging you down. And some of these things, right away, maybe you know what some of them are. And stepping into that space. Others, pray and ask God to reveal those things to you. Cast off the things that would hinder you. Find renewal through simplicity. And thirdly, renewal through submission. Submission. Acknowledging that everything belongs to God and comes through Him. Submission means coming under another's mission. We're going to talk more about that later in Ephesians 5. Will you place yourself under God's mission and purpose for your life, for your family? Author John Eldridge has a great tool that can help in this area that he calls the 1 minute pause. There's actually an app. Some of you may have it. We featured it in It's Friday a while back. The 1 minute pause says, hey, for 60 seconds a day, 60 seconds, can you enter into a posture of submission? And here's the prayer. I give everyone and everything to you, God. God, I give everyone and everything to you. And bring to mind those people, those situations, those plans that you have that you're so excited about, but now they're up in the air because it's COVID. I give everyone and everything to you, Lord. Find renewal through submission. And why? What's the goal? Remember, I told you there would be a quiz. Do you remember? Verse 2. Walk in love. Matthew 6, Jesus says, you and I, we are the light of the world. We're a city on a hill. In other words, we're made to shine and bring light to our community. So why has the world written off the church in so many ways as irrelevant or worse? What is the world seeing when they look at us? Are they seeing a people focused on rules, on who has the whitest socks and who has the neatest bows on their shoelaces? I got to tell you, the world's not impressed by that. So do you get the picture here? Paul says, look to the goal. Look to Jesus, our example. Walk in love. And in the process, all those other pieces, they take on special significance. Not only do we get to walk closely with God, which is awesome beyond belief, but the world, our coworkers, neighbors, people at school will say, you know, I don't exactly get it. I'm not sure I agree with you, but there's something so attractive about how you love. That's what will bring transformation to our world. Hanging with me there? All right. Verses 13, 14 says, when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Awake, O sleeper, arise from the dead, Christ will shine on you. And it occurs to me as we're here today, there might be three kinds of people joining us. You might find yourself in one of three camps. For you, today, maybe you're struggling to put something off. And maybe you have a strong idea what that is, or maybe a vague kind of sense of what that is. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And that's a great place to be, inviting you to put off those old ways, those old scripts. The Spirit is there wanting to empower you. Invite him to do his work. Enter into these practices. They'll help equip you. Solitude, simplicity, submission. Reach out. Send a text or an email to someone that God brings to mind. Connect with others on this journey of putting off those old ways. So maybe that's you this morning. Or maybe you realize that you're sitting on the sidelines, that you've been too focused on socks and shoes rather than on running the race. And for you, maybe the move is to repent of that, to recommit yourself to putting on that new identity, to following Jesus' example of walking in love and letting that light shine out in your relationships. Maybe that's you this morning. Or maybe this all sounds strangely distant to you, and you've heard these things. There's something attractive, but it's not personal. Well, it all starts with a personal relationship with Jesus, with saying, Jesus, I hear these things, and I know I can't. I can't even be who I want to be on my best day, but I believe that you can. And I invite you to come into my life and make your home with me, to transform me from the inside out. We're going to pray together in just a moment, but I really encourage you this week to spend some time in Ephesians 5 with those putting off practices. Or spend some time thinking about how solitude, simplicity, submission can find space in your life as God transforms us and lets us shine light for his glory. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you. Thank you that you have adopted us into this new family, that you have empowered us to put off old ways, that you are renewing us, and you have given us this new identity. Like these verses say, we want to awake, we want to arise, we want the light of Christ to shine upon us, and we need your power, we need your strengthening. Be with us this week, we pray. May all these things be to your glory. Amen. Thanks so much for joining us today, and I wish you a wonderful week as we walk forward, as we walk in love together. Church, see you next week. Thanks.